أحمد إمامي وحبيبي
فرح فؤاد الحيران،
نور الهادي بان ساري بكل الأكوان، نور الهادي بان ساري بكل الأكوان، أحمد إمامي وحبيبي فرح فؤاد الحيران.
All praise is due to Allah the Exalted, and may Allah raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his kind relatives and companions, and protect his nation from that which he feared for them.
رسول الله وهدى قلوب محيرة لما اقتفوا بهدى.
To all our fabulous community connectors everywhere, welcome to another episode of the show presented by Nadia and Ola via 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio. It's a pleasure, as always, to be reconnecting with you all through such an incredible platform. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Ola, who, as always, is here to accompany me. Assalamu alaikum, Ola. Hope you're doing well.
Wa alaikum assalam, Nadia. Hope you're doing equally well.
Well, the warm weather has prompted more and more people to go to the beach, but how many of those people actually have solid awareness and understanding of the kind of risks associated with our beaches? Definitely, a lot of us can become very complacent about the potential dangers such as swimming unsupervised or in unpatrolled locations, and this can especially be said about migrants and international tourists who seem to account for a large percentage of drowning deaths during the summer months. The number of drownings that do occur among Australia's migrant and tourist community on our Australian beaches has indeed prompted and raised serious concerns about the impact surrounding uneducation or unawareness about beach safety. So for that reason, Ola, today we will be imparting information about Australian beach safety, particularly for migrants and international tourists. And the reason why is because international visitors are a particularly at-risk group when visiting Australian beaches, and that's due to poor knowledge of beach safety practices and hazards. They typically comprise of a large percentage of annual drowning fatalities. But Ola, the information that we share today won't only be of benefit to migrant communities and those coming from overseas for tourism reasons, but also the local Australian community as well.
That's right. But why we focus on migrants and tourists in this particular instance is because they usually come from different environments. Now, I know we are very, very blessed here in Australia to have some of the most amazing beaches of any country in the world. But along with these amazing beaches comes a lot of dangerous circumstances that many people may not be accustomed to. I know a lot of people who come from other countries are often come from areas in their native country where they may have not even seen a beach before.
Exactly.
They live very, very far away from the beach, and their beach conditions may vary dependent on their environmental factors over there. They may vary very much in nature to the kind of circumstances that are presented by Australian beaches.
Yep.
So our beaches have a very unique set of characteristics that may not necessarily be applicable to beaches overseas. So
exactly,
this is why I think a lot of people do underestimate the risks involved with visiting an Australian beach. And so this is why we're here today, to help shed some light on that.
Exactly, Ola. And just like visiting any other country, it is important to familiarise yourself with some of the common risks that could potentially arise. And the reason for that is so that you know how to avoid it and what to do in an emergency situation. So educating international visitors about beach safety in Australia does remain as a significant challenge, which is why many Many awareness campaigns have been recently put in place in order to educate those communities about the risks associated with our Australian beaches. So that's what's coming up on the show today, dear listeners. We do advise you to stay tuned and stay connected. Welcome back, dearest listeners. You are tuned in to Community Connect with Ola and Nadia on 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio. Look, Australia is known for some of its most gorgeous beaches, and for that reason, they sure do attract a lot of tourists during the summer. But with that beauty also lies danger. Our beaches have some unique risks and hazards for even the most experienced local swimmer, let alone a newcomer from overseas. Today's topic is concerning the lack of awareness, especially within migrant communities, about the dangers of Australian beaches, especially, as Ola mentioned previously, for those who don't even have beaches back in their home countries.
That's right, Nadia. But in saying beaches, I think we really need to look at another perspective. And we talk about beaches because we think about open water being so treacherous. But strangely enough, we find that the risks posed by other bodies of water are actually sometimes greater than that posed by beaches. And so This is where people are being misled into a false sense of safety around certain bodies of water, and that doesn't necessarily include beaches. When we talk about beaches, we also need to talk about some other bodies of water that may not typically be considered to be dangerous.
Exactly. It is important that we do impart that education to our listeners, especially those who come from migrant communities, those who come from a different country perhaps. But really, a large number of drownings have occurred among migrants and international tourists. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they arrive to Australia with poor beach safety knowledge. Now, even for the local Australian Ola, they don't have much knowledge about beach safety and some of the risks associated with Australian beaches, let alone those who come from overseas. Now, it has been established that migrants and tourists account for a third of drownings in Australia. So people born overseas make up 30 to 40% of our drowning statistics every year.
That's right. And recent research from Royal Life Saving, a 10-year national study of overseas-born drowning deaths, reports that 27% of all drowning deaths over the past 10 years involved people who were born overseas, and 86% were living in Australia at the time of death. So we can see that this issue affects a large proportion of migrant and overseas-born community members.
Exactly. The beach can be quite an unfamiliar territory for international tourists and other newcomers to Australia. So if you don't live near the beach or you aren't really accustomed to a beach environment, you might be taking risks without realizing it. And so today, inshallah, we will be imparting very important beach safety messages that can potentially save your life. But, you know, going back to this topic, among those people who have been inflicted with fatal drownings in Australia include those born in China, New Zealand, Britain, South Korea, and India, and they actually prove to be most at risk.
Oh, that's strange. I guess, again, it goes back to that whole issue of, you know, them coming from places where maybe their beach environments are a lot different to what we have here in Australia.
Mm.
But also in looking at the kind of systems that are in place in terms of information surrounding beach safety and other things, a lot of our signage and information is provided in English.
In English, exactly.
And so for people who don't have a great understanding of the English language, that's quite a barrier. And so they're left without a lot of crucial knowledge that could ensure their safety.
Exactly. I mean, something as basic as swim between the flags could be very difficult to understand for those who come from an international community.
That's right.
Who don't understand the English language.
Well, not just that, you know, they may have come from a country where they don't have such a thing as, you know, swim between the red and yellow flags. It's just not there. And so they're unfamiliar with what is the red and yellow flags.
And that's why more should be done to educate newly arrived people who might not be familiar with Australian beaches, even tides and water conditions. And we mentioned there are so many characteristics about our Australian beaches that even local Australians don't even know about, among which are rip currents. And we will be talking about that later on, about how to recognize a rip current. I mean, it took me a while to properly understand what a rip current is all about. And there are many misconceptions surrounding rip currents. And a lot of fatalities occur because many of us don't know how to recognize one, and let alone what to do in a situation involving a rip current.
That's right. But also the unknown. There's a lot of uncertainty embedded within bodies of water. You know, you step into that water, you don't know what is beneath that surface.
Exactly.
There's so much to consider. You've got to consider the natural landscape of the water that you're stepping into, as well as all the marine life that's in there. And so there are numerous risks. And the best way to avoid all these risky and potentially fatal situations is to be well informed.
Exactly. There are different unfamiliar conditions involving the water. You've got things like big waves, sudden changes in water depth. They all pose potential dangers. And for that reason, uneducation is one of the main contributing factors, involving a very high percentage of the preventable rescues performed by Australian lifesavers. So Royal Life Saving Australia Senior Research Officer Stacey Pidgeon says poor swimming skills and the influence of alcohol were the main factors leading to international students drowning. So there was a recent research conducted, which found that the two main contributing factors to drowning among international students include the influence of alcohol. Now, alcohol is a massive problem, not just here in Australia, but internationally as well. And during this time, Ola, it's very common for people to be drinking alcohol, to be indulging in alcoholic beverages on Australian beaches. And later on, we will be talking about the potential dangers associated, the risks associated with drinking alcohol, especially when you are at the beach.
That's right. And look, there are many, there are numerous factors that come into play here where, that contribute to drownings and so forth.
Yeah.
But look, in terms of what Stacey Pigeon says, she really wants to encourage more water safety education specifically aimed at migrants. And that's because they have been shown to be such a high risk group. There are no real resources available for that risk group.
Exactly. And a lot of the fatalities that have been occurring on our Australian beaches have actually sparked a call for beach education for tourists and migrants. And if we actually think about it, and I'm sure a lot of international newcomers can relate, that they receive no beach safety briefing prior to arrival in Australia. And that's something I believe we should strongly work on, because especially during this time of year, a lot of tourists love to travel to Australia because of the most gorgeous beaches that we have.
Yes.
So I think there should be a briefing on some of the risks that could potentially arise, and it should be done in their preferred language.
That's right. But those kind of initiatives really require a lot of work. It's not
something
that can be done. If you're thinking of all the potential languages that these resources need to be provided in, it is quite a huge task.
Exactly.
And I think it's one of those things that will take a little bit of time, but it's good that we're acknowledging that this issue exists, that it's a problem, that it is a serious problem and one that needs to be addressed, and we're taking steps to address this issue. And Royal Lifesaving Australia has actually taken the initiative to do that and is running water safety programs around the country, specifically targeting migrants and international students.
That's a step forward. They are really addressing these statistics through a range of initiatives that really aim to improve swimming skills and, I guess, increase water safety awareness among culturally diverse communities. These programs really focus on providing swimming lessons, water safety instructions, and knowledge of appropriate beach behavior, and all of which can really contribute to saving a life.
That's right. It may be that one piece of information that saves your life.
Exactly. And that's why we always go back to education and the importance of prevention being better than intervention.
That's right. We talk about this in terms of people leading by example.
Yeah.
You know, we need people, our locals, to be setting a good example for the international community, for international tourists, for newly arrived migrants, as to, what should be done and how people should be behaving at the beachside. If you are a local and you have all this signage and you know what kind of things are expected of you at a beach, and you start defying what is expected of you, then that's not a very good example. And you could be, putting somebody else's life at risk. You may be very familiar with your local beach, for example, but, somebody who sees you swimming outside the yellow and red flags, or, swimming at an unpatrolled beach or whatever.
Exactly.
You're sending all the wrong messages through your own actions.
And Ola, those are some of the most basic beach safety messages out there that even young children should be made aware of. And it is extremely crucial for Australians to lead by example, as you said. I mean, they're very easy to practice. Swim between the flags and to swim it is highly advisable to swim at patrolled beaches. And if you don't swim at patrolled beaches, then you need to recognize what kind of risks, potential risks, could arise as a result of doing that. So we will be imparting some very crucial information about what to do in an emergency situation, how can you swim safely, and there are other very important and crucial beach messages that we will be relaying, so do stay tuned for that. Welcome back, dear listeners. You are tuned in to Community Connect on 92.1 FM Muslim Community Radio. Now, let's begin talking about what to do in an emergency situation. Now, if you've ever been to a beach before, you'd be familiar with how many emergency situations are likely to arise. So it is very important to prepare yourself in case an emergency situation happens, because you're likely to panic if you don't know what to do. And as we mentioned earlier, education is extremely important. Prevention is better than intervention. So the best way to prevent a drowning tragedy is through education. So in this case, educating yourself about the potential dangers associated with the beach and what to do in case danger strikes is extremely important. So before you do visit an Australian beach, educate yourself about what to do in an emergency situation.
That's right. So I don't think we can stress enough how important it is to only swim at beaches that are patrolled.
Yep.
And that's because, yes, if you get yourself in a sticky situation and there's nobody around, then, you know, it's more likely than not that it's not going to end well.
Exactly.
And, you know, if there's nobody around, if it's a really isolated beach and there is nobody around, there's nobody to help you, nobody's going to see you calling out for distress, and that could quickly turn sour. And look, you mentioned something earlier about being educated, because you would likely panic if you were caught in an emergency situation, even if you know what you're doing half the time. Being caught in that kind of a situation is enough to make you panic.
Exactly.
And you will often forget everything that you've learned prior to that, and you'll find yourself really struggling to save your own life.
Exactly. And, you know, in terms of what to do in an emergency situation, the number one thing that would potentially happen to you in such a situation is that you'll panic. And a lot of people don't understand the importance of not stressing out in that situation. As much as it's very hard, exactly, to not stress out or panic, but panicking could potentially lead to your death. So a lot of people actually don't know that they should just be as calm and relaxed as they can. In such a situation, if you were to be drowning, it's highly crucial to raise your hand, and this actually signals to lifeguards that you or a friend needs immediate help.
But then again, that only works if you're on a beach with people around and there are lifeguards there to help you.
Again, which comes down to the importance of swimming at patrolled beaches, especially if you have children with you. If you want to take your children to the beach, it is extremely advisable that you take them to a patrolled beach.
That's right.
Now, this doesn't mean that you completely rely on lifeguards to babysit or look after your children, which shouldn't be the case.
Not at all.
It would be better for you and your children to be at a patrolled beach.
That's right. Look, Nadia, this brings to mind an article I read recently, and it was a very tragic story about a lady who lost both her husband and one of her sons.
Wow.
Because they went swimming at a closed beach. It was not good weather, and that particular beach was closed down for the day. And still they decided to ignore all the warnings
Yep.
And they decided they wanted to go for a swim.
Yep.
And she did indeed lose her husband and her son together
that
on the very same day.
That is extremely devastating.
So we can see from this that, you know, you really shouldn't ignore the messages. If they've done that for a reason, I'm sure there are experts out there who know more than us about the dangers presented.
Yep.
In, you know, swimming in waters that are not safe or, you know, that have been affected by weather conditions.
Exactly. And we're not trying to scare you off our Australian beaches. You can enjoy the beach, but it's always important to keep beach safety top of mind. And these beach safety tips that we are about to share will help you stay safe in the water and on the sand and hopefully prevent a similar tragedy. Ola, not only losing one person, but two valuable people in your life. And one thing you mentioned is they totally ignored the weather warnings. And that's a very important safety tip. Prior to visiting the beach, before heading out, it is always a good idea to check the weather forecast. And when planning a trip, that's usually the first thing
that we check.
That
anyway.
We check. An outdoor trip is to check the weather. And the reason for that is it will help you identify any conditions that might have a huge impact on things like wave sizes, water currents, and the possible appearance of blue bottles. So it is extremely important to stay informed, and you can do that by checking the weather forecast on the official Australian Bureau of Meteorology website.
That's right. That's probably the most accurate you're going to get in terms of close enough to accurate forecast. But yeah, do pay attention to things like wind speeds and tides and all that sort of things, surf conditions. We've got a lot of downloadable apps these days, and that's a good thing about having technology in the palm of your hand, that you can download a range of different apps onto your mobile phone and even weather apps that will actually give you certain warnings.
Exactly.
You open it up and it has, you know, all your warnings for that day. Is there a fire risk? Is there, you know, certain surf conditions that you should be avoiding? All those things. So always check those and keep up to date.
It is highly advisable that we do make use of those applications because it will help you stay informed. And in such a situation, being informed about the weather condition will help you make the decision of whether you should be, in fact, visiting the beach or not. Now, it is highly recommended that you avoid swimming during and at least one day after heavy rain at ocean beaches, and for up to 3 days at rivers, streams, and the like. So again, Ola, it's not only beaches that we should be on the lookout for, but also rivers and streams, other types of bodies of water that
and
we
in
should.
In fact, yeah, they do account for a higher proportion of drowning deaths than beaches. Those rivers and creeks and streams and all those, you know, they look harmless enough to us because sometimes we look at them and they don't, you know, there are no waves.
Yeah.
And they look calm enough, but, you know, there are so many things lurking beneath that surface that we are not aware of. And, you know, it's so unpredictable. That environment beneath the surface is so unpredictable. And that's what people underestimate. That coupled with, I think, many people overestimating their own swimming abilities, I think that's a very, very toxic combination that could lead tragically to something like death.
The second piece of advice in relation to beach safety is to choose the right beach for you. Now, some beaches are great for surfing, while others are calmer and more protected. Each beach, in fact, has its own unique landscape and reputation. So make sure you check signs and you do your research to find the best spot for you. We mentioned earlier, Ola, which is very fundamental about visiting a beach, is to always swim at a patrolled beach. Travelling around Australia, you will find that many beaches are in fact not patrolled, which means there aren't any lifeguards and surf rescue crews around in case anyone gets into trouble. So where possible, always swim or surf at patrolled beaches, because if you were to get into trouble, it actually could take longer for help to arrive. And as I mentioned before, this is especially important if you are taking kids with you. If you want to take your kids to the beach, take them to a patrolled beach. The safest Australian beaches for swimming are the beaches patrolled by lifeguards and surf lifesavers. So do your research. I'm sure there are many phone applications and many websites available that can inform you about the closest local patrolled beach for you.
Yeah, that's right. Find the family-friendly ones if you've got little kids. And look, again, don't be overconfident. When it comes to water, there's no such thing as, I know this place too well. Beaches and bodies of water are constantly changing environments. There are no 2 days where you're going to be there where the conditions are going to be exactly the same. Everything beneath that surface, like I said earlier, changes from day to day, and there's no way of knowing what's going on. So never ever dive in blindly. And I think that's probably one thing that's contributed to more deaths than anything else, is that people do presume that they know a body of water so well and they just leap in head first.
Yep.
And that's the end of the story.
For those who feel overconfident in the water, that can be a huge problem for them. And even for a very highly skilled swimmer, they can also be put at risk. And so it is important to recognize your own swimming ability and really ask yourself, if a situation like this does arise, would I be able to handle that situation?
Because these bodies of water are not like, your backyard swimming pool or your local swimming pool where you know the dimensions, you know there's a shallow end, you know there's a deep end, you know how many steps there are to go down.
Yep.
That's a pretty consistent environment in terms of a pool.
Exactly.
When it comes to these other bodies of water, you know, what's been brought down with the current, who knows? It could be rocks, it could be branches, it could be broken glass. Who knows?
Exactly. At a glance, it could look very safe for you to swim in, but really it could trick you or deceive you, into thinking that
that's
it's safe for you.
People are lured into a false sense of security around, especially these calmer-looking bodies of water where they think, oh, look at it, it's barely moving. You know, I guess I can just dive in. Not knowing that, you know, there's something that's going to kill them right beneath the surface. So, subhanAllah, people really need to take into consideration a number of factors, their own abilities as well. I think people need to consider their own physical ability in terms of, am I up to it? You may have been a good swimmer 20 years ago, but, people do grow older. Their physical abilities don't always remain as good as they want them to be.
And again, swimming at the pool or in the pool is different to swimming at the beach.
That's right.
The situations that could arise are very different to perhaps swimming in your pool. And another very crucial piece of advice is to not swim alone, particularly if you are not a strong swimmer. And in fact, the overwhelming majority of drownings involve single swimmers. When you swim with someone else, you do have a greater chance of overcoming a problem if it does arise. So, for example, if one of you begins to drown, the other person may be able to help you, including signaling for assistance from those on the shore.
And preferably don't try and dive in straight away. Try and alert somebody first that you're experiencing distress, whether it be a lifeguard. If there are no lifeguards around, at least, call emergency on 000 and let them know what's happening. Because if one person is in distress, you dive in after them and you both get into trouble.
Exactly.
Who's going to save you then?
There are many things that you could potentially do prior to jumping in the ocean that really could save your life and make a huge difference.
It is compelling because our first instincts when we see somebody in distress is to want to run to their aid.
Exactly.
But that's not always the best thing to do because while you think that you're doing them a favour, you could in fact be doing yourself a disfavour by jumping in the deep end, literally, and getting you and that person both in trouble.
Look, while an Australian summer will do wonders for your tan, many travellers actually underestimate the harshness of the Australian sun. So we hear this time and time again, and many people actually don't follow this advice, which is to be sun safe. Skin cancer is actually a major issue in Australia, with apparently an estimated 14,000 cases diagnosed each year. So it really helps to be sun smart, Ola, during the Australian summertime because the sun can really be fatal.
That's right. And if you don't need to be, I mean, try to stay out of the sun during the hottest part of the day.
Mm.
I mean, you don't have to be on the beach smack bang in the middle of the day. If you want to get there very early in the morning and then, you know, leave when the sun gets hot, or come in after the sun has moved past the center of the sky, because that's when it's most destructive.
Exactly. Practice basic sun smart
message we've all been hearing since we were in kindy, I think.
Exactly. Slip, slop, slap. Slip on a shirt, slop on some sunscreen, and slap on a hat. Apply sunscreen, bring along a hat, shirt, and sunnies, also known as sunglasses. Bring along a bottle of water to sip and find a shady spot on the beach. A lot of people love to sit directly under the sun because they're really aiming to get that, you know, bronzy look.
No thanks.
Please.
No thanks.
I don't want to be.
I would much rather I go home without a dose of sunstroke. And look, I don't tan. I just turn lobster red. So there's no point for me to even sit under the sun.
And that's the case for a lot of Europeans as well and people who come from Britain.
Yeah, that's right. They're very affected by the sun.
And they turn red, lobster red.
And look, that's another contributing factor to things that happen in the water.
Mm.
You know, if you've got heat stroke.
Yep.
And you don't realise it at first, and then you get into the water and you start experiencing the symptoms of heat stroke while you're in the water, that's a very deadly combination.
So as we mentioned earlier, the beach is in fact a very dynamic, ever-changing environment and it can get quite unpredictable. You really can't predict the beach, the ocean. Although it can be very fun, it can also be dangerous to people who are unaware of the hazards. And that's why lifeguards who understand the beach use a system of flags and signs to advise the people who visit with the things they need to know, which is why we come down to a very important piece of advice, which is to check the signs and always swim between the flags. Even when you're driving on the road, you know, this is something that we get advised time and time again, is to always read the signage.
We're accustomed to following signage, so why not just do it on the beach?
Exactly. It is really important to always observe and abide by the safety signs just to make sure that there are no apparent dangers and that the conditions of the ocean are clear, that the red and yellow flags are the most important signs on the beach. They actually signal the safest place to swim.
That's right. That's because the area between the red and yellow flags is actively patrolled by lifesavers, which means in the event that you do become distressed in the water, they'll be able to see you.
Exactly. And those flags, they will signal to you and warn you about any potential hazards or dangerous conditions that are around on the day. common warnings will alert you to the presence of blue bottles or dangerous shore breaks, for example. So stay safe and make sure you always stay between the flags. Now, a lot of us seem to ignorantly assume that sharks are the number one hazard on our Australian beaches, when in fact rip currents are. And Ola, if you were to ask someone you know what a rip current is, would they be able to tell you?
I doubt it.
No.
I probably wouldn't know how to identify a rip current, to be honest.
Exactly. I mean, many people have actually died or come close to death by panicking or trying to swim against the rip, trying to get back to shore. So what is a rip or a rip current? It is a powerful, hard-to-see water current which flows away from the shore. And as I mentioned, rips are the number one hazard on Australian beaches. There are about 17,000 rips at Aussie beaches on any given day. That's according to BeachSafe.
Wow. So that's 17,000 potential risks that people need to be wary of. They're really dangerous, and if you do get caught in a rip, you might find yourself very quickly being pulled by a strong current out to sea. Rip currents or rips are the number one hazard on Australian beaches, and the best way to avoid a rip is to swim at a patrolled beach between the red and yellow flags. We cannot say this phrase enough times.
Exactly. Well, how do you spot a rip current? Rips are very complex and they can quickly change shape and location, and at times they are very, very difficult to see. So you need to look out for deeper, dark-coloured water, fewer breaking waves, a rippled surface surrounded by smooth waters, anything floating out to sea or foamy, discoloured, sandy water flowing out beyond the waves. And remember, rips don't always show all of these signs at once. Ola, for a lot of people, they need an illustration of what a rip current is. There are many illustrations that you can find on the internet. So I suggest you do that, because merely hearing this information won't give you a clear depiction, a clear representation of what a rip current is.
That's right.
Which is why it's important to actually visually see it.
That's because right. It really helps. If you don't know what it looks like, you can't avoid it.
Exactly. So it is really suggested that you do that. And don't go into the calmest area of water. That's where a rip could be. Again,
you know, you would think that would be the safest part to go, but clearly not. And this is where this emphasizes and reinforces the importance of being well informed and well educated, because, you know, if we were to allow logic to dictate this, we would be thinking the calmest part of the water is the safest place to go.
Yes.
But clearly, in this case, where rips are concerned, it's not.
Very ironic, isn't it, Ola? And we mentioned this earlier, that the ocean can be so-called deceptive.
Mm.
It can deceive you into thinking that it's calm and safe for you to enter. And it's also advised to look for white water. Wherever there are waves breaking and running into a beach, there's likely to be a sand bank there. Also, avoid going in on windy and choppy days where rips are difficult to read. Again, that goes back to checking the weather condition of the day to alert you about whether the beach is safe for you to dive into. And understand that rips are extremely dangerous and, again, have killed many people.
That's right. Now, there are ways, if you do happen to get caught in a rip current, there are ways that you can hopefully save your own life.
Yep.
The number one tip, and this is one that we touched on earlier, is to, although it's very, very difficult to do so in such a situation, you need to relax, stay calm, and float to conserve your energy. The more you flail about, the more you try and splash around, the more likely it is that you're going to make things worse for yourself, and you're going to drain your energy, and you're not going to be able to fight it or hold yourself for much longer. So that's the number one tip. Relax, stay calm, and float to conserve your energy. Also, raise your arm and attract attention from lifeguards or lifesavers. the lifeguards or lifesavers will be on their way to help you. While floating, rip currents may flow in a circular pattern and return you to an adjacent sandbar. You may escape the rip current by swimming parallel to the beach towards the breaking waves, provided you have any energy left.
Exactly. It can really take so much of your energy, and it really makes things 10 times worse if you are panicking.
It is actually frightening not just to be caught in one. It's frightening watching somebody get caught in a rip current. It's actually really, really frightening. I've seen people get caught and just seeing them so helpless, and it's almost like there's this invisible magnetic force just trying to suck them down.
Exactly. And that's why it's really important to stay informed, because the best way to avoid being stuck in a rip current is to be educated, also to be cautious and not take unnecessary risks. Also, another essential piece of advice is to not drink alcohol at the beach or anywhere else.
for that matter,
because alcohol while swimming spells disaster. I mean, drinking alcohol anywhere you are puts you at risk, especially at the beach. In fact, alcohol contributes to at least 20% of all adult drowning deaths every year. And Ola, it is important for us to understand that when you drink alcohol, you lose the ability to think.
It impairs your judgment. It's a well-known fact about alcohol that it does distort your judgment and your reaction times.
And so it really makes you lose your swimming ability. If you've been drinking, you can get quite disoriented. And not only that, not only can alcohol cause drowning, but it can also contribute to boating accidents, heat strokes, and dehydration. And again, it comes down to why that is the case, because A, it impairs judgment, it distorts your perception of risk and your own abilities.
It also reduces your coordination.
Yep.
Because alcohol numbs the senses, particularly the sight, sound and touch, leading to unsteadiness and inability to climb or swim, making it hard to get out of trouble.
Now, we definitely need to be able to get out of trouble if we were to be struck by trouble. So there you go. It also impairs reaction time. And the reason for that is because alcohol is a depressant. It reduces the rate the brain processes information. So ordinary reactions take longer at a time when a quick response is vital for survival.
And interestingly enough, I found this very, very interesting, is that it reduces the effectiveness of CPR should you need it. So if you do happen to drown and the lifeguards pull you out and need to do CPR on you to resuscitate you, alcohol reduces the likelihood that resuscitation methods will work.
Yep.
So do yourself a favour.
Exactly. Don't drink alcohol.
Don't drink alcohol.
Exactly. Well, look, Ola, we have come to the end of the program, and we do have probably about two more points to discuss, but we'll briefly mention them. Try to gain knowledge on how to swim and what to do in a situation involving drowning, perhaps, or rip currents or anything like that. Above all, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Australia's beaches and surf conditions are some of the best in the world. And as long as you use good judgment and common sense, I guess you will have the time of your life.
I guess you will. You just need to be very, very cautious. And like we said, exercise that common sense. I guess that's pretty much all we have for you today.
And always remember the golden rule: when in doubt, don't go out. Thank you very much, dearest listeners, for joining us. Please take care.